And then, did you have a game, Justin?
No, I went against it. I had an
That's fine.
idea, but then it was kind of something similar to what I did last year. Remember, I did like the songs for superheroes, and you had to guess who the superhero was. I was gonna do it like that, but it was gonna be like I was their roommate, and I described their idiosyncrasies, and you had to figure out who it was. But
Like it.
it wasn't nearly as funny as I thought it was gonna be. So then it was gonna be like I was I was their jaded gay lover that was upset that they left me for their real romance. But then I changed that too. So now I got nothing. And they all sounded like great ideas, but I wasn't coming up with good material.
Right. In the future, when you flesh it out, I am anxious to play this game.
God damn it! I get it!
This crap is terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like three girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Welcome back to another fun episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here, joined with Randy, Amanda, and Justin as always. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Fabulous.
Excellent.
Great to hear. I'm glad everyone's doing good. I was filled with a little bit of fury earlier today, and rather than taint everyone's ear holes, I was going to let Randy talk about the newest Star Wars rumor. So, Randy, why don't you get us started with this just terrible, terrible bit of news?
Yeah, when it comes to taint, kick it over to Randy.
That's right. Concord.
You know all about taint.
That I do. That I do. And ear holes. But the topic today... Star Wars, and you guys know how much I love my Star Wars rumors and spoilers and all that stuff, and I've been an avid spoiler follower ever since the days of Episode 3, and what I heard today made me throw up a little bit, but then I immediately had kind of the knee-jerk reaction going, well, it's got to be fake, and David's under the same impression. We're like, it's got to be fake. But without any further ado, let me kind of go into a little bit about what was supposedly leaked. So apparently, after the typical Star Wars credit crawl, you see a hand floating through space, and somehow it miraculously, without completely deteriorating or burning up, makes it through the atmosphere of a planet, a re-entry, and then lands, and is found by these kids, teenagers, whatever, the heroes of this new Star Wars trilogy. And it is... We're left to believe that this hand clutching a lightsaber is Luke's, which somehow made it into deep space and to another planet from Bespin, from Cloud City, where it was cut off in Empire Strikes Back. And they recognize the lightsaber in there as being an old Jedi relic, and they decide they want to return it back to the rightful owners, or at least take it to somebody who knows something about it. And that leads them to cross paths with Han Solo and Chewbacca, who are apparently no longer flying around in the Millennium Falcon. The spoiler says something to the effect of they're piloting something larger, but it doesn't say what, because they don't want to give away any kind of big plot points, but... And he apparently Han Solo immediately recognizes the lightsaber because they don't all look the goddamn same, which they kind of do. But he immediately recognizes it. Oh, that's Luke's. I haven't talked to that guy in 30 years. I wonder what he's up to. And they take a hyperspace jaunt to go visit their old buddy like they're going to a goddamn high school reunion. And what bothers me the most, and also what I know bothers David just from reading his article, is how in the world can you have the biggest heroes of the rebellion, your Han Solo, your Luke, your Leia, you know, your core heroes, how can you have them completely just part ways after Return of the Jedi? You know, there were still Imperial elements to be dealt with. It's not like they won the battle, but they hadn't necessarily completely won the war yet at that point. There was still a lot going on. And it just boggles the mind that they would just completely never see each other again after that. But anyway, it ends up turning into this kind of bizarre road trip where they end up tracking down Luke because he's probably some old hermit like Obi-Wan at this point. He's kind of like just completely living incognito somewhere, doesn't want to be found. But the whole premise, the whole thing starting with the hand clutching the lightsaber and that being what starts this whole new story arc off, it's just, it's so far-fetched that it can't be real. I hope to God it's not real. I don't know, maybe it is, but I'm really, really hoping it's not. I don't really know, I don't remember much more about the storyline beyond that. I think that's probably about as far as my stomach could take it, but I don't think there was much more information released than that. David, do you have anything to add?
No, yeah, you pretty much hit it all. And there's a couple things that make me think it's fake, aside from the obvious that it's just awful and ridiculous and stupid. But I mean, they make mention that Han and them aren't flying the Falcon, but we know the Falcon is in the film. You know, unless they built a full size set for the Falcon and then aren't going to use it. Yeah. I mean, I find it hard to believe that they would start a movie where Han and Chewie. I mean, to some small extent, this movie is fan service. You know, they need to, like, you know, Abrams wants to tell his own story and he wants to play within the Star Wars universe, but there are some key points that he has to hit for, like, fan service, and the Falcon is definitely one of them. Yeah. You know, we asked a question a long time ago when they said that the expanded universe was no longer valid. You know, what are some things that would be, like, deal breakers? And, you know, I mentioned a couple things, but that was under the pretense that some things were just assumed.
Sacred.
Like, yeah, like I assumed Han and Chewie would always have the Falcon. I assumed, you know, the core three would stay together. Because like Randy pointed out that, you know, after, you know, the second Death Star is destroyed over Endor, you know, there's still a shit ton of Empire still left to go. They've by no means won this war. They've won a huge battle and struck a huge, you know, maybe even a death blow to the Empire. But they're still going to need Han, and they're still going to need Luke, and they're still going to need Leia and Chewie and the droids and everybody else to fight this war. And so, this is just so ridiculous. I like the idea of John Boyega and, you know, his sister finding something that puts them on a greater path, you know, reminiscent of, you know, Luke being forced on this greater path. But it can't be this. What do you guys think? Justin loves it.
What if, just bear with me for a second, what if the hand that's floating around in space isn't his original hand? What if it's his new fake hand and he's fought somebody else that's bigger and stronger and better? And not only that, but this fake hand, this mechanical hand, is made out of this special alloy that can survive the burn-up and re-entry.
Well, you know, Justin, I hadn't thought of that. If that is the case, then this is entirely plausible.
There you go.
If off-screen Luke has fought another person of his equal prowess that has severed his mechanical hand with the lightsaber from Empire Strikes Back that he somehow recovered off-screen as well, then I'm with you.
Well, and don't forget now, Luke isn't exactly a real Jedi. He got, like, his GED in Jedi Arts. He's a crash course. Basically, just a step above earning his degree from home.
Yeah, he's like a homeschooled Jedi.
Yeah.
Right. But he is the last, you know, the closest thing to a Jedi, and that would be probably the biggest rally call.
It's not his fault he's homeschooled. There were no more Jedi, right?
I'm just saying that, you know, it's easy to call yourself the best when you're the last one.
You're the best.
I'm just saying, if in Abrams' world, if immediately after the Death Star is destroyed and Luke kills Vader, if Vader dies, if Luke goes into depression, disappears for 30 years, I will never forgive J.J. Abrams for the rest of my life.
Oh, you are one to hold a grudge. Me, I don't get mad at anybody. I don't get upset.
Are you insane? Didn't you stab someone in school?
Well, that was a long time ago, Dave.
Yeah. He stabbed himself, too.
I did?
Remember you, like, cut your leg with that Highlander sword?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's cutting. That's not stabbing.
Yeah. Just listen to Morrissey crying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can we all just let's go around. So, I think it's fake. What about you guys? Randy?
I definitely think it's fake.
Sorry.
It can't be. It can't just be real.
I'll go ahead and say it's 100% accurate.
And Amanda, what do you say?
It's probably fake. But I also don't have a horse in this race. I don't really care.
you do because you like good storytelling.
Speaking of good storytelling.
Yeah, Justin, what's going on with these CW shows? They seem to be multiplying like bunnies, and that's a good thing.
They are, and I'm okay with that. I like the bunnies.
Actually, before we talk about The Flash and Arrow, do you want to talk about your new venture on The Flash podcast?
Oh, yeah, because I'm a credible source when it comes to all things Flash. I just happen to have taken a gig as a co-host on The Flash podcast, and this is a podcast that is all about the upcoming series The Flash airing on the CW this fall.
Yeah, I listened to you were on your very first episode last week, and it was very good. You and Andy have good chemistry. Hopefully it doesn't get messed up when you add the third host in there.
Oh, man, it's explosive.
So I'm sorry, Justin, what were you saying? Flash, Arrow, hit me with something.
Yes, we all know that comic books like to do big old crossovers, and that is certainly going to be the case with these two shows. According to, the executive producer? The show, or the showrunner, Kreisberg? How do you say his name? Is it Kreisberg?
I think it's Kreisberg.
Okay. He has gone on the record confirming that episode 8 of both shows will have a crossover between the Arrow and the Flash.
It'll be
a 2-hour crossover event.
Boom, like Dynasty style.
And not only that, but the adorable Felicity Smoke will also be on the Flash show. She will be on episode 4. Felicity, the computer girl. The girl that hacked into everything, and she's like...
I like her.
33% of Team Arrow.
Oh, I don't watch Arrow, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
she's like a less irritating version of...
Chloe.
Was it Chloe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, from 24?
No, from Smallville.
Oh.
The girl that would hack into the DMV from her barn.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I was going to say, if you're referring to Chloe from 24, it doesn't take much to be less irritating than that.
Fine young woman. So yeah, that's exciting. I as someone that has seen the pilot for The Flash, I am eager to see more. That's all I'll say about it. But I think fans have a lot to look forward to. How about that?
Something special.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
I'll watch it with you. We can Skype while we watch it.
We should. I'll cut out every 5 seconds.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
We'll do it from my garage. But yeah, no, that sounds cool. I can't wait for the crossover. So, Amanda, what other TV news is going on?
So, as it turns out, FX has decided to renew both Fargo and Louie for additional seasons. I believe Louie will be on its fourth season?
Fourth season,
yes. And Fargo will come back for another season with an all-new cast and a new story. They decided that, I mean, the first season was met with such critical acclaim. They must have read my review on Geek Legacy, the FX executives. They decided that Fargo would be a great anthology series. So each season, much like American Horror Story, will focus on a new set of characters and a new quote-unquote true crime story.
But it'll feature the same cast, but just playing different people?
No, different cast, different characters.
No, totally different cast, totally different characters, different time period.
But doesn't American Horror Story have the same people, just different?
Yeah. No, they always have. I mean, they have a few of the same actors come back, but not the whole cast.
Oh, I don't watch it.
I don't watch it either.
It shows.
But I hear it's good. I just don't like being scared, so I don't want to watch it.
Oh, it's not scary.
But it's disturbing.
Yeah, disturbing, but not scary.
I don't need that kind of imagery in my head.
Mm-hmm.
The Following gave me nightmares, and that's just about a serial killer.
Like Kevin Bacon nightmares?
No, just serial killer nightmares.
Oh. That show started off really good. Like, I really enjoyed the first episode, and I hated every episode after that.
I think it would have been better as just a movie. So what else in TV news? Oh, a new trailer for the sci-fi adaptation of 12 Monkeys hit the web.
Ooh.
And in case you are unfamiliar with the concept of the 90s Brad Pitt / Bruce Willis flick, 12 Monkeys is about a time traveler who tries to go back into the past to find out information and hopefully stop the start of a plague that almost completely wipes out the human race. And I really enjoy the movie. I know, Dave, you're not a huge fan of Terry Gilliam, but I really did like 12 Monkeys, the movie. And I don't really know how they can turn this into a TV show. Because, I mean, well, I guess I can see how they could do it, but I feel like the movie encapsulates the story so well. I'm not really looking forward to a TV show that will go on indefinitely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it seemed like a completely different vibe than the movie. Like, it seemed like it was almost like a thriller mystery, almost, yeah, as opposed to, like, the whatever you want to call it, Terry Gilliam is. But I mean, I enjoy 12 Monkeys. That's one of the few movies of his I enjoy. But yeah, it looks like just a totally different animal.
Rawr!
Yeah. So it's not even a monkey anymore. It's like a lion.
I think there's a lion in the beginning of the movie.
Probably.
I'm also not really feeling, like, from the trailer, I'm not really feeling that cast. You know?
Really?
It's got Pyro.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not really familiar with him, but just from his interactions with the other girl in the trailer. And then also, I'm not a huge fan of that actress.
Who is that?
She's on, I know her from Suits. She's a, like, recurring character on Suits. And, I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of her delivery of lines. I don't know. But she just comes off super irritating to me.
Aww. How sad.
So I like, I don't know if I can watch that show.
That's funny, because I'm, like, kind of excited about the cast, because I like Pyro, Aaron Stanford, and then I also, Kirk Acevedo, I know I pronounced his name wrong, he was on Fringe, he was, what's her name's partner?
Yeah, he was Francis.
Yeah, he's Francis, and he was also on Oz.
And Planet of the Apes. Donald
Planet of the Apes, yeah. So I really like him, too, so I always get excited when I see him, so.
The bad guy, oh god, I don't remember his name, but he's super creepy. I mean, he plays a good bad guy, at least.
Who is the bad guy?
I can't remember what he's in now. He's in so many things as a bad guy. Pretty sure he was in 24.
Oh, yeah, he was in 20. You're talking about Zeljko Ivinic or whatever?
Yes.
Creepy guy with glasses? Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff. He's awesome. Yeah, he was also in Oz. He was in let's see, what else was he in? He's in, like, everything. He was in that what was that show that it doesn't matter. The one that was, like, The Event, that's what it was called. Dr. Weaver.
Terrible. Oh my god, I hated that show so much, and I was all prepared to watch it because I had barely known anything about it, and then Dr. Weaver showed up on my TV. I think I texted Amanda. I was like, oh my god, fucking Weaver. So mad. But yeah, I like Aaron Stanford too, and he was in Nikita along with Noah Bean, who's also in that trailer. He was in Nikita as well, FYI.
Freaking small world.
He was Ryan Fletcher. He was a CIA guy. Yeah.
So that's all I have for TV news. I believe you have some info about the Avengers, Dave.
Heck yeah, Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. Yeah, there's a lot of Entertainment Weekly, they do every year, they do a big Comic-Con issue, and this year was a lot of stuff having to do with the Avengers Age of Ultron. They released a ton of photos. You can find them all on geeklegacy.com. I believe there's 18 in total. And on top of that, they also dropped some fun little tidbits about the film's villain Ultron, as well as Vision, who is Ultron's creation. And some of the interesting points are that in the comics, Hank Pym, he creates Ultron, but in this universe, the cinematic universe, it's going to be Tony Stark creates Ultron, kind of out of, you know, a continuation of Iron Man 3. You know, he's kind of done being Iron Man. He wants to create you know, he still wants to help save the world, so he wants to create basically sentient robot Iron Man, and his creation ends up being Ultron, who is just supposed to continuously adapt and figure out how to function. And of course, things go wrong. Ultron decides the only way to save humanity is to kill humanity. But what's going to be really cool is Ultron is going to create the Vision, and the Vision is going to be played by Paul Bettany, or at least voiced by Paul Bettany, who also does the voice of Jarvis in the Iron Man movies and the Avenger movie. So it should be pretty cool. Kevin Feige has said that they're planning on sticking pretty true to the comic origins of the Vision. And yeah, so it looks pretty exciting. I think we're going to get a lot of cool little tidbits coming out of Comic-Con next week for the Avengers 2. I think that's going to be one of the bigger. I think Avengers 2 and Batman v Superman, I think, are both going to come out with big announcements. I think Batman v Superman is going to have the whole cast show up. And I think that Avengers 2 Age of Ultron is going to at least drop some fun footage on us. But that's really it. It was a really quick little tidbit, an interview with Robert Downey Jr. Talking about it. So yeah, you can read all about it at geeklegacy.com. And yeah, that's mostly it. Does Mr. Van Dyke, they have a list for us?
I do have a fun list for us. So the amount that certain actors make on certain films is quite a topic with us. And this is definitely going to give us something to talk about. So without any further ado, let's jump into the top 10 highest paid actors. And this is over the period of about the last year or so. All right. Jumping in at number 10, Mark Wahlberg, $32
million. Wow. That's not bad for number 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was weird as saying. I think that's kind of... I'm surprised it's that low. If you would have told me that Mark Wahlberg made like $80 million this year, I'd have been like, oh yeah, I can see that.
But The Happening 2.
Yeah, I mean, he does a lot of producing and stuff too. Like, he's an executive producer on Boardwalk Empire, and he produced, you know, Lone Soldier, Prisoners, and a couple other movies this year. And then he, you know, plus he tends to act sometimes, and he did like 5 movies last year. He did Lone Soldier, Two Guns, Pain and Gain, Broken City. So he did 4. I'm sorry.
He's still getting Entourage money.
Yeah, and well, he's producing that movie too.
Number nine is going to catch you guys off guard. Will Smith came in at $32 million as well.
Wow, what? He's not so cool anymore.
Yeah, but what?
Well, he hasn't really been doing anything.
What did he do though to get that money? I mean, is it still like coming
After
in
Earth?
From?
Yeah, he did After
from
Earth
Independence Day. Yeah. I mean, is he still getting residual checks? I mean, what's the deal?
Oh wait,
with that?
Men in Black. Oh wait, was that last year?
That was 2012. He did After Earth and Anchorman 2 in 2013.
He was in Anchorman 2.
He's one of the cameos for the reporting battle. The best part of the movie.
Did he get $30 million for that movie?
I have to imagine. I think After Earth sent him a bill.
Probably. I didn't see it. Did you guys see it?
Which one?
No.
After Earth.
It is as bad as everyone says.
Really?
Like, I went into
it. It looked good to begin with.
Yeah. I assumed. I'm like, well, it can't be nearly as bad as everybody said. Yep. Somehow it was.
I still need to watch Oblivion. It's on my radar, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's not good, but not bad. It's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I'm worried that I won't like it because I liked that other movie so much. Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's just going to be my favorite Tom Cruise movie for a while.
He's on kind of like a research. Like, he's had like 5 good movies in a row. Because he had those two. He had Jack Reacher, which is really good. So, and he had Ghost Protocol, which is really good. So,
yeah.
I'm kind of high on Tom Cruise right now. He's kind of been laying low. He's not doing anything crazy anymore. He's kind of staying out of the spotlight.
It's better that way.
It is.
One of those less is more kind of deals.
Exactly.
Sweet. What's next? Who's right. next? Not what?
Number 8 on the list, Christian Bale, coming in at $35 million.
Yeah, good for him.
Well, he does a lot of, you know, he's one of those guys that does it for the role. He's not so much the oh my god, I gotta be in 100 movies kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, because he had American Hustle and Out of the Furnace. So he did kind
of
two like,
oh my god,
low
out of
profile
the,
movies.
Out of the Furnace was awful.
It was
that was
not
one
a good
of the worst movies I've ever seen. It was so boring. Pretty sure I killed myself 3 times watching it.
Not going to find me defended.
It was terrible.
All right. Tied at $35 million, coming in at number 7 is Ben Affleck.
That one is kind of surprising because the only movie he did last year was Runner Runner, and I know that movie made like 6 cents, and that all went to Timberlake.
Well, okay. He's been producing and directing a lot, right?
No, he produced Argo, and then
really?
He didn't do anything else in 2013. Argo was 2012.
Directed Argo.
And he produced it too.
Yeah.
He got an Oscar for producing, not directing.
That's right. That's Best Picture, though, right? So that.
Yeah, Best Picture. He had to share it, like Clooney and the dude from True Lies.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
No, the
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, not Arnold and not Tom Arnold. Not Tom Arnold and not Arnold Schwarzenegger, the third member of their team. He produces all of George Clooney's pictures, and so he's got like 3 Oscars now.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. First time I saw him, I'm like, oh my god, it's the guy from the Van.
With the horrible hair, right?
Yeah, with the horrible hair.
And he pretends to be a cameraman.
Yeah. Saves the day.
Yeah.
Saves the cheerleader. Save the world.
That seems like kind of a narcissistic move there. Like, he's like, I'll produce this movie if I can be the hero at the end.
Yeah, dick move.
Anyway. Continue right. The list.
Making just $1 million more, coming in at number 6, is Liam Neeson. $36 million.
Also an Anchorman 2.
And Nonstop.
Yeah. Nonstop is such a silly movie.
It's 2014, too.
It's so silly.
I don't know what the time frame for the list is, but I'm just going off 2013.
He was in Taken 2.
It was 2012.
He was in Taken 3.
2015.
That other movie.
We have to imagine a lot of it's back-end money from previous films that they've done.
Yeah.
This is just like what they received that calendar year.
Like what they put on their taxes.
I'm assuming this is probably 2013 calendar year, but it doesn't specify in the article. Coming in at $37 million at number 5, Chris Hemsworth.
Wow.
It's all Avengers money right there.
He had a good year. He had Thor, Star Trek Into Darkness, and Rush.
Oh, I forgot he was in Star Trek, too.
What was he in Into Darkness?
I don't know. George Kirk, it says. There's probably like a flashback or something. I don't know.
Oh, he was hearing his voice when... Didn't Kirk have like some kind of flashback when he was... Like when he was coming back to life? He heard like his parents talking or something?
Maybe.
I don't remember.
Like when he was in the womb.
I know, so I'll go put it on right now. Go watch
it's at the very end. Watch the last like 5 seconds of the movie.
Let's do it.
Oh, man. But he was also in that other movie, The Red Dawn.
That was a while ago.
When was that?
It's 2012.
Well, they shot it in 1980-something, but it just came out last year.
That's like March 2012. He was in Rush. Did you guys see Rush?
I did.
Formula One. That's actually a really good movie.
It was good.
Ron Howard directed that movie. It looks nothing like any other Ron Howard movie. And it's good. It's a compliment.
Coming in at number 4, $39 million, Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's all of his Wall Street money?
Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street. Which is good, too. And Gatsby, too. Great Gatsby.
That was 2013.
I heard that was super boring.
It was, but it made a bunch of money because people like Baz Luhrmann and his style of movie making.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, grandioso. That book is short. I always liked reading that in school because
it was
over real quick. This covers 4 seasons in the year and it's over. It's awesome.
Like, I'm done.
Got the Allies and Old Sport.
It was one of my favorite books, but for different reasons.
Oh, I like the page length. I was like, shit, I can read this like right now. Let's do this.
What about the imagery and the social commentary?
That rich people are better.
No. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
Rich people have better parties.
Yeah, and then depression. Because there's no more rich people.
The 20s, that's where it's at. Everything ends up raises in the 20s.
Yeah. Overall, they got the old money there, you got the new money, and they're not as cool as the old money. And that's it.
Credits.
Yeah. Got the flapper scene. Action.
Oh, yeah. Scene.
Daisy, 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 Daisy.
Slap. Maybe a speakeasy.
Yeah. A horse parlor.
Coming in at number 3.
Randy, I thought for sure you would do a Roger Rabbit quote after all that.
I'm sorry to disappoint.
Loser.
Well, in your defense, Davis started with speakeasy. If he would have started with gin mill, I could have said speakeasy, and then you could have said hooch parlor.
There really wasn't anywhere to go except for maybe quoting some other part of the movie after that, I suppose.
It could have been a Huey, Dewey, and Louie moment, but we ruined it.
Damn it. My bad.
But to be fair, nobody really calls it gin mill, I think. So that would have been really... We would have had to have set that up ahead of time, I think, for that to work.
And then it would have fell flat.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, one more time. 3, 2, 1.
A gin mill.
I'm not doing it.
Aw.
I'm above this.
Coming in at number 3 with $46 million is Bradley Cooper.
Yay, Bradley Cooper.
That's a lot of money.
That is
Speaking
a lot of money.
Speaking of Bradley Cooper... I don't think Rocket sounds anything like him.
I agree.
Okay, it's not just me.
I mean,
they did weird stuff to his voice.
I mean, since I know it's him, like I can hear it, but like if I was just going into the movie blind, and when the credits came over and it said like Bradley Cooper, I'd be like, what the hell is Bradley Cooper in this movie?
Oh man,
I was trying so hard to pick out his voice from the stuff that Rocket was saying, but it just doesn't sound like him at all to me.
Oh.
It's weird.
Yeah, I'm with Dave. I hear it too because I know it's him. But when I watch movies where there's voice acting involved, I spend the whole movie trying to figure out who everybody is.
Yeah.
I'm terrible.
That's my point.
I know it's him too, but I still don't hear it.
I would have heard it. I would have stood up and declared that it was Bradley Cooper in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, if they do Rocket right and they don't overuse him, he's going to steal this movie.
You think?
Just from like the clips, he looks pretty badass.
Is every kid going to be a Rocket Raccoon for Halloween?
I hope so. Probably not. It's a hard costume.
You could be a Rocket Raccoon.
A little tall for the Rocket Raccoon.
You could be Groot and your kid could be Rocket Raccoon.
That's funny.
Do it. I am Groot. I like that he says, I am Groot, but, like, Rocket Raccoon understands.
Yeah, it's on the tone.
Yeah, like Chewbacca.
Cool. Who's number 2?
Number 2 on the list, The Rock. $52 million.
Not bad.
That's not bad at all. A lot more money than you make wrestling, that's for damn sure.
No, The Rock made a lot of money wrestling. But yeah, I agree. It helps that he's in, like, 30 things, too.
Yeah.
Like he was in the stuff Fast that he's and the in Furious.
Isn't bad though, you know. It's like he's not a guy just like you guys were mentioning, not just doing it for the sake of making a whole bunch of movies. Most of them are pretty decent.
Yeah, he was in G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yeah, that did well, and obviously Fast and Furious did too.
Yeah, and Pain and Gain made a decent amount of money because the budget was. I mean, you think Michael Bay, you think like $200 million. So Pain and Gain's budget was only like $33 million, which means that. He must have been getting some serious back end.
And coming in at number 1 with a drastic jump up to $75 million, Robert Downey Jr.
Good for him.
Yeah. I agree. Good for him. He deserves it.
The majority of that is back end from Iron Man 3. That's one thing the article does elaborate on.
Yeah. And I mean, he deserves it because you go to see Iron Man, you're going for. Pretty much Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
So he deserves a good portion of that $1 billion worldwide box office. Billion with a B.
Is Pepper Potts going to complain that she's not making enough money for Iron Man movies?
I hope so, then they'll replace her. like a hotter pepper, like a ghost chili or something.
That's funny.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah. That's funny, though. I laughed.
Glad.
Wonder if she's glad.
Yeah, that's a great list, Randy. I like your list. Thanks so much for it.
That was a fun list.
It was fun and educational, and we all got to flex our movie knowledge.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as morbid as the backup list I had for last week.
Yeah, what was that? Are you saving it for another week?
It was too morbid. We have to save it for Halloween.
Mm. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
Horrible ways of like losing your fingers or something like that? Getting limbs chopped off or some shit?
It's like 10 different reasons in favor of cutting off your own fingers.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, here's 10 reasons why you should cut off your own fingers. It was awesome.
Wow.
So you can't get married. Is that one of them?
I don't remember. It's not up in front of me right now. I guess we'll just all have to wait until... I was going to say Thanksgiving. We're going to have to wait until Halloween.
Although it's a fun Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving theme, too. Find a finger in your food.
Huh. Well, that is a cool list.
There's a whole new meaning to finger food.
I always hate that term.
Finger food?
Yeah, because then it implies people touch stuff. And I don't like people touching my stuff.
I can't touch
your stuff. Well, you're touching it.
I know, but when I just hear the word finger, I think people touching and people touching their face and licking their hands and
giving me flashbacks.
I don't like it.
I'll let you lick anything I eat.
Gross, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I crossed that line. Yeah.
Or those people that take break off a piece of something and leave the rest of it on the platter. I hate that.
Well, they didn't want the whole thing. They didn't want the whole cookie.
I get that, but
Why does Costco and Sam's Club have to give you such big damn muffins? I didn't want the whole muffin.
Somebody touched it, and now I'm not going to eat it.
Maybe they only touched the paper.
They didn't.
Maybe they had just washed their hands before they touched it.
And then they touched the dirty doorknob to open up the bathroom.
There's no germs on the doorknob.
Yeah, there are.
You crazy.
People are dirty.
Why don't you just get fitted for your bubble? But yeah, just real quick, wanted to talk a little bit about Comic-Con, too. This week is Comic-Con, obviously, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday if you're going to preview night. And Geek Legacy is going to be all up in that mother. And if you keep your eyes on geeklegacy.com, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, you know, maybe even on Instagram at Geek Legacy, you're going to have a front row seat for all the comings and goings that happens at Comic-Con. We're going to have quite a bit of coverage. We're all going to be there in our Sunday best or Saturday worst, depending on what day it is, and have a lot of fun. So anything you guys are particularly excited about this year's Comic-Con? Justin?
Yeah, the 75 years celebrating Batman, and I get to see Adam West. I'm really stoked about that.
That's He's fun. Still alive?
Yes.
Damn.
He ain't dead yet? What about you, Randy? What are you excited about?
I'm actually really looking forward to our interview with Mike Tyson.
Heck yeah.
Is that weird? Is it weird to look forward to that? I'm kind of stoked about it.
That's my, top thing.
Yeah.
I feel weird about that.
It's going to be so great.
I mean, not to rain on everybody's parade, but he is a convicted rapist.
Yeah, but he didn't do it. Yeah, it's Comic-Con. Follow us.
Yeah.
You're going to get to see us doing the Walking Dead escape. You're going to get to see us do the Nerdist laser tag show. It's going to be a physically active Comic-Con for us. I don't like that. But yeah, like I said, keep your eye on geeklegacy.com and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at geeklegacy. And we'll blow your feet up with all the good shit that you'll be jealous you're not at. And if you're going to be there, definitely hit us up. You know, hit us up on Twitter or email us info@geeklegacy. Let us know you're there, and maybe we'll hook up and grab a drink or shake hands, or maybe we'll even talk to you about the podcast.
Be on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, you can be on. You can be a special guest. Special guest correspondent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, do it. Anything else you guys want to talk about today?
Mm-hmm.
Any shout outs? Special high fives? Mm-hmm. Requests? Is done?
Done.
Y'all done?
Done.
Sweet. Well, that was easy. Well, thanks again for joining us for another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Make sure that you fill your ear holes with all of our other fun podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. There's, of course, the Comic Corner podcast with Tyler and Jeff, where they talk about comics on the Pollist. And then you also have the Pixelated podcast with Justin and Stephen K. James. And they talk about video games and how awesome they are. And make me sad that we don't talk about them on this podcast anymore. Make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Legacy. And for all your geek news and reviews, geeklegacy.com.